Hi, once again, race fans. I'm Sean Wood. Welcome to a special edition of the Sprint Car Show as we talk with one of the greats to come out of Australia, Peter Murphy. Peter, great to talk with you. Welcome to the broadcast.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having us.
Sure thing. Well, Peter, it's your birthday, and a happy birthday to you. We won't throw out the number. It's a young number, but we won't throw it out. But
yeah,
as you you and I were saying just before we came on the air here, you're happy to be here for this birthday after the accident last year.
Yeah, that's a fact. I am happy to have another one, that's for sure and certain, but could have very easily gone the other way. So, it's not a bad thing.
Peter, how have you been health-wise following the accident?
Pretty much, it's funny because, you know, the first couple of months afterwards or, you know, even up till Christmas time, I was thinking that I was good. Like, you know, there's nothing wrong with me, you know. But that being said, though, things change constantly day to day, and then you realize that you really weren't where you thought you were back then. And even now, I think I'm pretty good, but obviously I've still got a long ways to go. Brain injuries are never anything you really want to, you know, they're hard to figure out, I guess, is one thing, but, you know, you just never know. But things are going pretty good. There's a period, I have 6 weeks that I don't remember. I don't remember some silly things, like I don't remember obviously being in the hospital or being changed hospitals or even coming home. I don't remember any of that. I don't remember being taught, like, that particular time. I didn't know how to evidently have a shower. I had to be taught simple things that I couldn't think of how to do them, and having a shower, or, you know, was one of them. There was lots of other things, but that's probably the basic one that most people would understand. That's a pretty simple thing that you can't remember how to do. So there was that. But you know, I've just had an operation on my knee about a month ago now, and looking forward to having another operation on my left shoulder. Because during the crash, the shoulder came out of a socket, and so there's a little bit of bone damage, but there's also a tore the cartilage. And then when that one's over, then we can go and work on the other knee. So theoretically, everything's pretty good, and won't be long, and I'll be like a brand new one. So be good.
And we're coming up on the anniversary, the 1 year anniversary of that accident there, Antioch. So you don't remember anything about the accident then?
No, I don't remember anything of it. I remember the day. I remember qualifying. I remember the heat race, and I remember going out for the dash. But I don't remember anything beyond that. And like I said, there's at least 6 weeks I don't remember after that. There's just a blank period in my memory that I don't know of things. And it's probably a good thing that I don't know that some of them. You know, I'm having to be taught, you know, different things to, you know, having physical therapy and speech therapy is, you know, it's just I'm just glad they taught me how to speak Australian again, so I was good. But it was definitely a bugger of a time, that's for sure.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because of a number of years ago, I had the great pleasure of introducing one of the great legends in NASCAR, one of the famed members of the Alabama gang, Mr. Bobby Allison. And what a super great guy just to sit down and talk NASCAR with. And, of course, he had that accident at Pocono. And he, to this day, even though he told me he watches the race, he's seen the race a number of times, he cannot remember being in the lead and beating his son, the late Davey Allison, to the line at Daytona to win the 500, to be the first father-son 1-2 there. If I'm correct on that. So that is, I guess it is, and for him it's a shame, and for you as well, but I guess sometimes the brain doesn't want you to remember a traumatic experience.
No, I think that's probably a good thing. Maybe, I'm not 100% on that, but, the problem I have, if you call it a problem, is I have no fear about climbing back in. Like, I'm ready to go any time that anyone would let me, but obviously, I'm a lot smarter than that, because I do know that from the doctor's reports and everything, that if I was to get back in it and have another crash or something, good chance that, you know, I won't survive that one, which is you know, I was very lucky to survive this one, and then good chance that, you know, if I did, I would be a vegetable, and even though I did make it past that deal and probably come close to dying there anyway. I don't know whether you know that it took them 5 minutes to find my pulse, and in the end they found it in my ankle anyway. So to me it was pretty weak. But like I said, I have no fear, and I did make it through. But I have probably about 1,000 friends from across this country and another 2 countries that would probably kill me if I got back in it anyway. But I know better than to tempt fate. I've had a very good career, and I'm pretty happy with everything we have done. And to be honest, there's no way I'd put my wife or my boys through what they had to go through. Everything I've gone through was one thing, but what they went through is far more, you know.
Would you get back into the car even to make a ceremonial pace lap?
Yeah, I would, and I have. I did it, and I did it at Tulare a couple of months ago now.
Okay.
And it was basically because, you know, when all this happened, then I got, you know, later on I got diagnosed with depression and things as well, because you know, you can't do what you want to do, and it's what I came here to do. But they let me do it there, and that was really cool. You know, when the doctors were saying I shouldn't do it, and which I knew I shouldn't, but doing them a couple of laps, and then I got out, and then I said it was good. You know, I called it quits, and that made it. It sounds silly, but it was so much better for my mind that I quit than being told that I couldn't do it. You know, so ironically, that day going to the track, I just felt like we were going racing. It felt really good. But on the way there, I got a phone call from Brad Doty and all the thousands of different therapists that I have to see and everything I have seen. He was the best person I've ever talked to because he knew, you know, about dealing with, you know, when you can't do this again. And he was, if I had to have, you know, 20 ducks or whatever in a row, I only had 10, but after talking to him, I had 20 in a row, so he was something special for him to call me and tell me, and he was very honest, and it was good for me to talk to him about it. So,
if you had a percentage number, what would the likelihood be that you would want to get back into the car, despite what everybody else had said?
I don't know. The problem is the want is there. Like, I would love to, you know, like I said, there's no fear about, or, you know, because I wasn't there, to be honest. Like, I crashed in that, but I have no memory of it. So I wasn't there. So I didn't go through any of what everyone else went through. Like, and I'm not just talking my family and my wife and my boys, but, you know, my crew that were there on the track, and not just my crew, the other teams that were there and the drivers. And, you know, I can't imagine what they went through, to be honest. To find me, you know, basically lifeless and that. So, you know, I could never put anyone through that again anyway. So I'm happy with the decision, and I'm good to just roll on and figure something else out now, you know.
Before we get to talk about the Peter Murphy Classic, looking back on your career, as you were telling me, and I did not realize this, Ayers Rock, one of the more historic symbols there in Australia, there's actually a speedway there, and that was where you won your first ever race. What is that part of Australia like, and what do you recall about winning that first ever winged sprint car race?
It's definitely in the middle of the country, but it's a beautiful place, that's for sure and certain. You know, it's called Alice Springs because, you know, you're in the desert, and all of a sudden you go through this rocky outcrop deal, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's green, and it's very nice. The track's just a small quarter mile, might be a D shape, and I think the D part of it was on the front straight, so it was kind of weird. But it was a race they had out there for quite a while, for many years, and it, you know, they invited people from different places. There was people from other states here and everything, So it was a good race to win, and it was my first one, and I was pretty happy with it, that's for sure.
you grew up in a suburb of Sydney. What got you hooked into auto racing?
I'd say my dad. He raced, you know, way back in the late 60s, early 70s, you know, super modifieds and stuff over there. And just kind of when I got old enough, you know, which is late going for over here, but I think when I was 19, maybe I got to start driving. And it was just, you know, from that point on, I just had this passion to do it. So, and coming here was something I'd always dreamed about, you know, and I was very fortunate to make that a reality, you know.
Your fellow Australian, Kerry Mattson, just coming off a big win at Eldora with the Kings Royal, and he said that was when he got here and he saw that place, that was what was hooked him on coming and racing to the States. What was it about racing in the States, and was there a particular race that you heard about or that you did see on television or read about that made you want to come over and live here and race here in the States?
And I've got to say, good job to him, and like, congratulations on that. That was a great deal that he won there. And he only, we grew up not, you know, maybe 10 miles apart, so I've known him for quite a while. But, you know, growing up, you know, if your dad had Open Wheels or magazines or whatever, you always knew about, you know, sprint car racing over here, and you just wanted to come. But, you, like, I knew about the Knoxville Nationals, so that's something that I wanted to come and do. And I think in maybe 1988, I actually came over here. I met Steve Kinser in 1985, 86 over there, and I worked for him from that point on. And I got to come over here in 88 and work for him. And actually, the first race I went to was the Kings Royal. And ironically enough, it was when Brad got injured in his crash there. So I've known Brad for a long time too. But I've always liked Knoxville. You know, it's always been something that I've wanted to do. And when I did start driving sprint cars, I drove for Barry Lewis, who's from Australia, but he came over here and he had a few people, and he's here now. I think he's got Brooke Tatnall driving for him. And I think my ninth ever sprint car race, I drove for Barry Lewis, and that was at Knoxville. So it was pretty cool.
And definitely an eye-opening experience, considering throughout all of Australia, there's not that many tracks, what, beyond a quarter mile?
Not too many, not, and especially not for me at that point. You know, most every place I went to was a quarter mile, or, you know, maybe even a touch smaller. Parramatta was the biggest place you'd have, but, you know, at that time Claremont was pretty big in other places. But Knoxville was just you know, it was just like stepping into a magazine, Open Wheel magazine, and you're in part of it. So it was really cool. It was definitely something that I'll always remember and have a good thought about, that's for sure.
What did you learn from working with Steve Kinser that enabled you to go on to have the career that you did have?
I think it's one of the, you know, you never give up, and like, he never gives up. But you know, it seemed like growing up at home, if someone passed you for the lead or wherever, then that was it. You know, that's about where you were, or you kept going backwards. But you know, from learning with him is, you know, if someone passes him and they run on the top, well, then you change lines and you run the top or whatever. He never, ever, and that was something that, you know, I would never give up, no matter if the car was wrong or, you know, I would never give up. And you know, his desire was always strong. And I think that sort of, you know, I learned that from him too. And the other big thing was, don't mess with right rears was one of the things he always told me, and that always went a long way. So he was just a good person. He's always been a good person to me. He's always been there with advice for me, and I obviously appreciate everything he's ever done for me. So he's a pretty cool fella, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it's going to be very interesting on the sprint car scene next year not to see him at every World Outlaw race. I mean, I know he is going to do some racing where we don't know, but it is going to be different not seeing him in and around the pits all the time. We're talking with Peter Murphy, who now resides in Clovis, California. He is from New South Wales, Australia, celebrating a birthday, and also has the Peter Murphy Classic coming up on July the 26th at the Tulare Thunderbowl Raceway. It's the King of the West 410 Sprint Car Series event. $5,000 to win, and get this, folks, $700 to start. Peter, tell us a little bit about how the Peter Murphy Classic came about, and what more can you tell us about the race coming up at Tulare on July 26th?
Originally, I think it, the 20th is the, 1 year from when the crash happened to me, and ironically, the speedway was Antioch over here in California, and we were going to race there, or the King of the West was going to race there again, but on the 26th, and for whatever reason, I can't explain it, but I wanted to do something to give back to the sport that's been so generous to me. I wanted to do something, and I wanted to go back to Antioch. I can't explain that, even though that's where, that ended my racing right there, but I just wanted to go there, and it would have been a good deal, and I talked to a few people that run the King of the West, and, could I do something? And they said, sure, and yeah, if you come up with some money, you can do this and that, but I've raised quite a bit of money, and I'm not stopping yet, but we've got it up to where it's $5,000 to win and $700 to start, and I wanted to pay it out through the field. I did want it to make it pretty good to win, but I wanted it to make it good to start too, because driving the last couple of years, I know what it was like to rely on that kind of stuff, and that's why I did King of the West, because it did have $500 to start, and that's you can make stuff when that happens, make it work. So I wanted to, basically make it so it's worthwhile for the guy that, starts last and finishes last, or pulls out or whatever. I know it costs money, so I'm trying to make it to where, everyone in the field gets something, and it makes it worthwhile for them to go racing. And so that's where I'm going. But I could raise it up yet, so I'm hoping I will even get more, and if I do, it'll go into the purse again, or I'll figure out something to do with it. But we've got $500 for quick time and $500 for hard charger and $500 for the longest tow to get there. It's just a lot of different things. We're going to have T-shirts and all the money to that from that. Whatever. If someone buys a T-shirt and it's $20, $20 is going to the benevolent fund. Because without the benevolent fund out here, myself and my family, we would have struggled because, we didn't work for so long. I want to give back to that because, I want it to be there for the next time it's needed from somebody, that has a bad deal but they need to be helped or supported somehow. And I hope everything I can do to give back to it is, so it'll be there when it needs to be.
That's a great thing, Peter, because I'm sure as racers go, a lot of you guys, you get to the track, you're focused on what has to be done to win that night's race. Nobody really thinks about what happens if they get in an accident, and I don't know who the person was that came up with the idea of the benevolent fund or the injured driver's fund, but as you just said, it's something that has helped you get through some very hard times. So it's great to see that you recognize and say thank you to the people who did that and have been doing that for many years to give back to those people. And I also see you have a bonus for 360 sprint cars as well. So it sounds like it's going to be a great night. And it sounds like, from what I can gather, there's going to be a heck of a lot of race cars that will be out there for this event.
I'm hoping, and they've allowed me to put a pole shuffle in, which is something we do back home in Australia and New Zealand. Instead of having a dash, it's how to get there is going to be the same as you would get to the dash, but everyone draws for a position out here in the dash, so eight goes against seven instead of if you draw eight and seven gets to choose high or low on the track. They have two laps, whoever wins stays out and goes against six. So hopefully that'll be good. I'm hoping for a good car count, but I'm hoping for people to come too, because not only do I want to give back to basically all my mates that I'm raced with a lot, I want to give back to the fans. I want the fans to come and enjoy it. I've got a few things organised, giveaways, whether it be T-shirts or whatever. We've got some from Kyle Larson's been kind enough. We've got so many people that's been nice enough to donate money and other things. it's just I'm hoping it to be a big thing all around. I'm in Australia, New Zealand, first, second, and third, get trophies. I'm going to have trophies for first, second, third, big ones, like not just little things. I want big trophies, and I'm going to have champagne because both places we have champagne for first, second, third. I want it to be special. I want them to spray each other and anyone that's close by, you know. I want it to be just, I want people to be entertained the whole way through it, and I don't want nothing for it. Like, someone asked me something, it's like, I don't want anything for that. We're going to have a 50-50 raffle, and that'll go to the Benevolent Fund. The T-shirts to the Benevolent Fund. If we raise money some other way, I want it to go to the Benevolent Fund. It's just, I think I've got the right idea with things, and hoping it to make fun with everything, you know, with the champagne and whatever. And now we've got the non-wing sprint cars running there too. The 360s, they're going to run there, which is ironic because, you know, if they ran there and I was still racing, I'd probably drive both, you know, because I did drive both before. And right. I've got to work on a little bit. You know, hopefully I'll get some trophies. I'll make some trophies up for them and get them champagne as well. You know, I just want it to be cool and special, and I want everyone to have fun, and I really hope. And I hope I get a lot of people there to enjoy it and enjoy sprint car racing, because here in the Valley it used to be something big. You know, everyone around here in Fresno would go to the sprint car race, but a lot of times now people don't know that it's on, and I'm just hoping I can do something to where, you know, not only do I give back to the drivers, but I want to give back to the fans, and I hope they can come and have a good time. So we'll see.
Is this going to be an annual race, Peter? Is that what your envision is?
It wasn't in my thought process at all, but a lot of people are saying, you know, are you going to, you know, this is the first annual, and I said, well, I guess we'll see how it goes, see how many cars we get, and we'll see, you know, how many people we get to come and watch. It would be amazing, you know, even if we got like 30 cars, that'd be great to me. Mm-hmm. But if we had, you know, the stands full, that would be amazing. I wouldn't know how to react to that. But if that was the case, I would have a go again next time. And one of my friends was telling me the other day, he says, you should do it again because, you know, I've raised, you know, enough money right now, and I've only had 3 weeks I've been playing with it. He says, what could you do in a year? I said, I don't know. Don't know, but we'll have a go and see how it all goes, and, you know, maybe they'll interview me at the track, and I'll ask the fans what they want to do, and then we'll let them decide, you know, so we'll see what happens.
Well, that sounds neat. And you mentioned other things. Is there going to be any kind of auction, or is that something that you're just not looking at right now?
You know, I don't know. There could happen. It's just something that I haven't even, you know, been looking at other things so far. But I don't know. They had a silent auction at Watsonville last week, and they had quite a few things there. And I actually donated a wing panel from my car that was in the crash, you know. Mm. So it definitely had a lot of meaning to me, and anyone that was at Antioch especially, they would understand, or sprint car people in general, really. And that, I think it went for like $480, like, and that all went to the Benevolent Fund. So I don't know. I'll talk to some people, and maybe if there's enough time or there's some way I can figure it out, maybe I'll just have a Benevolent Fund silent auction of some other parts that I have here from the race car that was there, that was right there with me, you know, when things went terribly wrong. But, you know, not that they're bad, because I'm still here. So it's, you know, they're not, it was a bad time, but it wasn't the worst, that's for sure.
Well, if you do end up having this as an annual deal, and we are in the process of getting some T-shirts for either late this year or next year, we'll send out some T-shirts. You can get them autographed and have them for an auction and help raise money that way. We have no problem doing that for you.
Cool. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Now, final question for you. You said you're getting back to the point where you can speak Australian again. And remember, this is a family show. I just want to know, are you able to tell the difference between the word root in Australia and the word root in America?
Okay. I will tell you, though, I remember the first year I came down here and was racing, you know, I think it was in 90 I started racing at Knoxville, and I remember there was some people came down, and I'm going to say they probably were girls, and they told me they were rooting for me in the stands, and I thought, well, that's pretty cool. So I didn't know what it meant here at that point, but I was a bit shocked that they were doing that in the stands, but hey, I did learn about it a bit, you know, very quickly, so it was all good, but I do remember which one's which.
That's good. That's great. Peter, it's been a great pleasure to talk with you here on the Sprint Car Show on this special edition. Again, July 26th, Tulare Thunderbolt Raceway. It's the Peter Murphy Classic. Get on out. Support the show. It's all for the benevolent fund and Peter giving back to the community, which, as we all know, and we've talked about this many times before, racing is family. It doesn't matter what country you're from. Doesn't matter where you're at. We're all family. We all make sure we take care of each other. And Peter is just, it's his way of saying thank you to the community that came out and helped him when he had his crash a year ago. Well, Peter, all the best of luck to you, mate. Enjoy the rest of your birthday, and we look forward to hearing and not only the great news about this race coming up, but hopefully Gary Thomas will send a few pictures of the champagne being sprayed on each other in Victory Lane, and we'll see just how good of a time these guys are going to have on July 26th.
Yeah, no worries. And just to go on with what you said then, you know, the Speedway family, and it is a family, and, you know, sometimes I don't realize how big my crash was, because I just, like I said before, I wasn't there, I don't remember it, but when I talk to people from in this country, from anywhere from here to Pennsylvania, I know people seem to remember what they were doing, you know, and it doesn't matter whether they're here or in Australia or in New Zealand, everyone seems to know what they were doing when that happened, so it was a big thing, so, you know, I hope this race is a big thing because of that, you know, and hope it is very successful, and I hope we can, you know, raise money and give it back to the Benevolent Fund, and I hope we put on a good show, and I appreciate you very much for having me on your show.
Sure thing. Peter Murphy joining us here on this special edition of the Sprint Car Show. Don't forget to join us on Tuesdays right here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Sean Wood.